Tavistock Spy Decoy and Beer Hall Dungeons. Psychohistorians agree that the most abnormal makeover in Adolf Hitler's life occurred in the Pazewalk Military Hospital while recovering from a mustard gas attack at the end of World War I. Hypnosis, drugs, and modern brainwashing techniques may have sowed his hatred for Jews. But if Aleister Crowley saw a double or look-alike in Corporal Hitler, his sudden switch over to Aryan racism would not have been a coincidence. To bigoted Crowley, all women were unintelligent, and black men were primitive. Jews were unpleasant in his opinion and possess bad qualities not because they desire to, but because they have been forced to behave as such by the development of hostility over a long period of time. But the Jew has been persecuted so relentlessly that his survival has depended on the development of his worst qualities, avarice, servility, falseness, cunning and the rest. The Confessions of Aleister Crowley. A frequent explanation for what may have happened in Pazewalk to cause Hitler's desire to rule the world is that Dr. Edmund Forster developed a scientific method of producing a programmed assassin or cruel, pre-coded tyrant by means of mind control and drugs. But the drastic alteration of Hitler's personality may have been a more thorough switchover than just a change of mind. Pazewalk would have presented a perfect opportunity for identity theft, the world's fastest growing crime today. One is a 1989 song by Metallica written by James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich. It is based on Dalton Trumbo's 1939 novel Johnny Got His Gun, telling the tale of a soldier who is hit by a landmine and loses his limbs, eyes, ears, and mouth. His mind functions perfectly, however, leaving him trapped inside his own body. When Germany surrendered in November 1918, British Army physicians took charge of Pazewalk Hospital. They stood over the bed of a mustard gas victim wondering what to do with him. The doctors of battle trauma would soon institute the Tavistock Clinic. An angel came from outside. Had no halo, had no father. With a coat of many colors. The Stranglers, Nice and Sleazy, 1978. Perhaps a certain Lance Corporal never left his military sickbay bed, but remained an experimental hostage or guinea pig, i.e. extraordinary rendition, awaiting his puzzling suicide. An in-the-flesh imposter such as Crowley, using a victim's name and personal data to spy within Germany in ways that involved fraud and deception, may have been the man who was released from Pazewalk Hospital a month later. As a follow-up in a published review, writer David Bonnell recently summarized the Pazewalk puzzle. There is considerable controversy regarding precisely when Hitler became driven to destroy the Jews and dominate the world. There is strong evidence, however, that the hate and pain which characterized Hitler's speeches in 1919 and afterward, as well as his fanatical purpose, were not in evidence prior to his psychiatric treatment. Where was Aleister Crowley during Hitler's psychiatric time lag in Pazewalk Hospital? For the most part, we know that Crowley had dropped out of sight. Anyone wishing to meet with him was properly informed by friends and solicitors that Mr. Crowley had gone on a Masonic magical retreat to a secret place he called the Esopus Island. He supposedly went off someplace to camp and canoe for over a month, writing a commentary on the ancient Chinese sage Lao Tzu. British agent Aleister Crowley had studied for the Foreign Service, and knew diverse languages including Greek, Russian, and modern Persian Farsi. A report said, it may be possible that Aleister Crowley is double-crossing the British government. Richard B. Spence, Secret Agent 666, 2008. Greg Hallett's provocative book Hitler Was a British Agent, 2006, depicts war as a ghoulish illusion conjured by occult magicians in order to gradually degrade, destroy, and eventually enslave humanity in world government. Hallett's claim that Hitler was a British agent is based on the testimony of a shadowy network of retired intelligence agents. Henry Mockow, Ph.D., Was Hitler a British Agent? Red Ice Creations, January 27, 2006. Greg Hallett wrote of his spymaster source, I interviewed the KGB in Moscow in December 1989 at a point when they were open, due to lack of pay. At the time you could buy information for the price of a meal. Hallett claimed that new documents found at the security services headquarters reveal Hitler was a British agent who received training at what later became known as the Tavistock Institute in London. The Tavistock Institute used to be called the Center for Psychological Studies. Dr. Hugh Crichton Miller founded the Tavistock Clinic, a mental health clinic and training center in London, in 1920. Hugh Crichton Miller was a psychiatrist who developed treatments for shell-shock soldiers during and after the First World War. The Tavistock Clinic is involved with Army officer selection and the best choice of leadership within the armed forces. But some critics say the Tavistock Board in actual fact is a British psychological warfare unit. Aleister Crowley studied to be a career diplomat at Cambridge, before giving himself over entirely to the occult, and was practiced in his command of English, French, and German. He considered himself to be a neglected poet. But where was his mysterious Aesopus Island, not listed in any atlas or travel guide? Gary Alexander, a freelance writer in New York, recently wrote, "Aleister Crowley came not to some Olympian myth of an upstate island named Aesopus for magical retreat but to our own Aesopus Island right here in the Hudson Valley. Today, Aesopus Island, a small rocky streak of land in the Hudson, is still uninhabited and officially off-limits. Coast Guard markers are sunk into the rock at the southern end. Visitors have left carvings in stone and painted graffiti, but one searches in vain for traces of Crowley or his campsite. There are no wartime reports of Aleister Crowley going to Aesopus Island, not at all in the authorized Hudson Valley records. Near the Stotsburg Hamlet, it is a rocky trail islet merely a few hundred yards long. Aleister Crowley in fact vanished from America during the summer of 1918 and did not turn up in England again until the following year. While magical scoundrels may have refined the training of legend building, a new Hitler had entered Germany. The missing weeks that marked the end of the First World War would have been as good a time as any for Aleister Crowley and Adolf Hitler to meet." Author Greg Hallett said that the Nazi Führer had incestuous parentage brought to bear by popular eugenics and artificial insemination. As put into practice in the late 1800s, the Catholic Church and a British parliamentary agency proposed that artificial insemination by donor sperm be dealt with as a criminal offense. All the same, medical clinics secretly used the practice of child by donor insemination, d. It stimulated the growth of the contemporary sperm bank trade in recent decades. Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia performed a top-secret donor insemination on the wife of a Quaker in the late 1800s. The firstborn son of artificial insemination with donor sperm weathered a Victorian prohibition. Strongly critical opponents proposed that anyone involved in the purchase and use of sperm be sent to prison. Therefore, he was advertised only in secret societies as the marvel of the 20th century to loaded Wall Street investors. Would they not endow and empower their new world teacher? Keeping up with the Joneses was a benchmark for Anglo-Saxon social authority. Backers were ignorant of the Cleveland Street clues. Hallett cited a long-hidden conspiracy of British and American political leaders. He takes an in-depth look at the British royal family and finds them wanting, full of spies, perverts, and morons, with the morons being the least dangerous. The Rothschilds and Rockefellers funded popular eugenics and artificial insemination clinics. The Führer was manipulated to perform as a British agent, that is, an agent for the British war machine. Was Crowley actually the Führer's identity holder? By 1919, the new Hitler immediately began naming colleagues and fellow soldiers who smelled a rat, or imposter. He earned himself a promotion by having them all rounded up to be shot as communists. Then he was sent to the secret political department of the Army District Command. Hitler's new unit was an intelligence operation, satisfying Crowley's German spy ambitions, that engaged in acts of domestic terrorism. The unit refused to recognize the defeat of the German-Turkish Central Powers in World War I and assassinated some of the leaders who had negotiated surrender. The new Hitler had now entered a different, wealthier inner social circle. He avoided, and in many cases even refused to meet up with his old acquaintances and relatives. In his highly secret wartime report, Walter C. Langer drew attention to the curious fact that the new Hitler allegedly always hid away a photograph of his deceased mother in his vest pocket. But when questioned about her, he could not bear in mind the date of her death. Another peculiar feature noticed by some was Hitler's German accent or particular mode of pronunciation. It is taken for granted that Hitler occasionally uttered Germanic syllables with a local Austrian dialect. But his tone of voice was pressing enough to be brought to the attention of William Wild Bill Donovan, director of the OSS, forerunner of CIA. Following the Enlightenment of the 1700s, the Medici Catholics and black nobility of Venice and Rome were replaced by a clique of Bavarian kings and aristocrats. Theirs was the white power-biased institution the Nazi Führer eagerly toiled for. Two Germanic sovereign lines, the British monarchy and the Habsburgs of Austria, tried to get hold of European governance. After the Second World War, there officially would simply be one accepted Germanish kingdom, the British Saxe-Gotha Crown, now called Windsor. Yet a Germanic master race theory would still be popularized and edified with slogans and notions of heritability that have no scientific standing. The Führer loved English nobility and its shrewd way of life. He saw Anglo-Saxons as power brokers and said his formal duty was to rescue Germany, which was being handed over to immigrants and minorities. Any attempts to swing the circulation of wealth away from Germanic upper classes, Aryans, would be terrorized as conspiracies of communists or Bolshevik Jews. My conscience was clear. I had been loyal to England. I had suffered for her sake as much as any man, I had fought the good fight, despising the shame, starvation, and solitude of soul and body, I was content. Let the British public come to honor me for my stubborn endurance of the shameful martyrdom, still cruel and still dear. The Confessions of Aleister Crowley. The new Hitler ran into serious dysfunction when he plotted to kidnap the leaders of the Bavarian government and force them at gunpoint to accept him as their leader. With the aid of famous World War I ace, General Erich Ludendorff, he hoped to win over the German army, proclaim a nationwide revolt, and bring down the German democratic government in Berlin. The Sturmabteilung, SA, brown shirt troops would be used. The Nazis put this plan into action when they found out there would be a meeting of businessmen in a Munich beer hall, and the guests of honor were to be the Bavarian leaders they wanted to kidnap. It did not occur to them to first take over newspaper offices and radio broadcasting stations. A beer hall was selected as the best site for their revolution. In an incidental way, Aleister Crowley had a self-centered tendency of using beer halls, e.g. the Café Royal, to stage his magical events. His family fortune came from the brewing of Crowley Ale. Crowley celebrated a Gnostic Mass, the basis of which is in the believed sexual secrets of the Eucharist. Some of Wicca's followers believe the Gnostic Mass to be the origin of the cakes and ale ceremony that is part of Wiccan rituals. On November 8 and 9, 1923, brown shirt troops under the command of Hermann Göring surrounded the beer hall. Hitler and his stormtroopers burst into the place, causing instant panic. Hitler fired a pistol shot into the ceiling. "Silence," he yelled at the stunned crowd. Hitler and Ludendorff then marched through the streets of Munich at the head of roughly 3,000 men, only to be met by police gunfire, which resulted in 16 Nazis and 4 policemen dead and Hitler's arrest. This brought the Munich beer hall putsch to an end. As one might guess, Aleister Crowley's magic autobiography briefly described a dismal incident involving street gunfire. "I do not know whether I stepped over fallen bodies or not. The report of the pistol, the screams, for all I know, of the wounded or frightened men, and the alarm given by the fugitives, had aroused the entire district." Hitler's bodyguard, Ulrich Graf, jumped onto Hitler to shield him and took several bullets, probably saving Hitler's life. Hitler then crawled along the sidewalk out of the line of fire and scooted away into a waiting car, leaving his comrades behind. The rest of the Nazis scattered or were arrested. Ludendorff, true to his heroic form, walked right through the line of fire to the police and was then arrested. Hitler wound up at the home of his friends, the Hanfstaengels, where he was reportedly talked out of suicide. He had become deeply despondent and expected to be shot by the authorities. He spent two nights hiding in the Hanfstengels' attic. On the third night, police arrived and arrested him. He was taken to the prison at Landsberg, where his spirits lifted somewhat after he was told he was going to get a public trial. The Rise of Adolf Hitler, The History Place, 1996. On February 26, 1924, the new Hitler was tried for his crime. He successfully turned the tables on his accusers with a political rally propagandist speech. Hitler was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment in Landsberg prison. It was during this time that his autobiography, Mein Kampf, My Struggle, was dictated to Rudolf Hess, who later became deputy leader in the Nazi Party. Hitler was released in November 1924, after serving only 9 months of his 5-year sentence. Where was Aleister Crowley from the time of the failed Nazi beer hall putsch until Hitler's release from Landsberg prison? Mussolini suddenly expelled Crowley from Sicily in 1923. Mussolini later asked the Pope to excommunicate Adolf Hitler. Once more, Aleister Crowley dropped out of public view on a new magical retreat, supposedly going to Tunisia this time, for several months of isolation to finish his autobiography, The Confessions. He did not resurface in Europe again until 1924, having undergone the supreme ordeal for his initiation of the Masonic Ipsissimus grade in Paris. Casablanca is a 1942 American World War II drama film with Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, Paul Henriade, and Sidney Greenstreet. It focuses on Nazi spies in Casablanca. Tunisia was the only North African country to come under direct Nazi rule. Pro-Nazi collaborators governed Morocco and Algeria. The Allies forced the Germans to withdraw in 1943. George Sylvester Viereck's wandering protagonist Cartophilus from My First 2000 Years is a fallen male admirer who longs for the spicy dancer Salome, the stepdaughter of Herod, in a decadent get-together of erotic sacraments to deify Lucifer and Lilith. The Jewish Telegraph called Viereck the soul of Hitler's U.S. propaganda. Lucifer is the Latin rendering of the Hebrew word Hallel in Isaiah 14:12. In this passage, Isaiah applies the image of the morning star, the planet Venus fallen from the sky, to a king of Babylon. This word occurs only once in the Hebrew Bible. During the Second Temple era, Lucifer was presented as the fallen angel Satan, Archangel Samael, cast out of heaven for refusing to bow to Adam. The term Lilith, translated as night creature, or screech owl, first occurs in Isaiah 34:14. The legend was fully developed during the Middle Ages. In 13th century lore, Lilith was the first wife of Adam, but she refused to become devoted to him and left Adam and the Garden of Eden after she mated with Lucifer. The resulting Lucifer and Lilith idolization is still often used as source material in modern Western culture, literature, occultism, fantasy, and horror. George Sylvester Viereck's pro-Nazi dogma suggested that our current traditions of Judeo-Christianity would finally be replaced with these sex magic roles, including adult leisure sadomasochism, S&M, and gibbeline sex dungeon belts. In this situation, what may be interpreted as hit and miss acts of aggression and exploitation are really highly ritualized activities. The Damned, 1969, was directed by Luchino Visconti. Rainer Werner Fassbinder considered it to be the best film ever made. Starring Dirk Bogarde, Ingrid Thulin, and Helmut Berger, the film is a thinly veiled reference to the Krupp family of Germany, whose steel company was based in Essen. The film centers on the Essenbecks, a wealthy industrialist family who have begun dealing with the Nazis. Martin von Essenbeck is an amoral, vicious, sexually deviant playboy who is secretly molesting his young cousin as well as a deprived Jewish girl. Martin's drag performance as Marlena Dietrich in The Blue Angel at his grandfather's birthday celebration, notorious at the time of the film's release, has since become an iconic image in cinema history. The Damned portrays the SS coup against the SA during its 1934 meeting to deal with its frustration with Hitler. Known as the Night of the Long Knives, the SA Council led by Ernst Röhm and the ensuing executions of its leaders by the SS is shown as a homosexual orgy and bloody gangster-style massacre, done at the Hanselbauer Lakeside Hotel in the spa town of Bad Wiessee, Upper Bavaria. In our age, BDSM, bondage/discipline, dominance/submission, sadism/masochism, has become an umbrella term for certain kinds of erotic behavior between consenting adults. A so-called dungeon master takes charge of a play space or punishment rooms for hire. In BDSM sexual play, a dungeon is any space set aside for scene activities. A female site set to a sex dungeon nightclub in recent times reported in Salon. Doms walked their submissives around on leashes, public flogging occurred at regular intervals, and the sounds of agony and ecstasy could be heard over the techno music. Athena Bradford, Dungeons and Dragons, My Visit to a BDSM Club, Salon, June 5, 2009. In between slaps, a group of handmaidens rushed in to massage oil into the tender, bruised skin. The nightclub visitors dressed in dungeon girdles, I wore my best corset, and played with a wand or a device used in electrical play that consists of a handle and a high-voltage coil. A hesitant U.S. Vice President Mike Pence said to ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos that anti-gay discrimination had no place in Donald Trump's government. But President Trump announced a ban on transgender people in the U.S. military. BDSM advocates believe that dungeon visits give them a certain passion that they don't get otherwise. They also bring into play cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, a type of talking therapy that can help them to deal with their problems by altering the way they think and behave. The Gothamist Regional News lately interviewed a woman who worked in New York City's S&M sex dungeon nightclub scene around the Herald Square area. I did everything you can imagine and then more. When people say S&M, they usually envision whips and chains. That was the vanilla stuff in comparison. Different people specialized in different things. My speciality was CBT, enemas, psychological, and piercing/needlework. Some other fetishes include cupping, cutting, scat play. The sex worker said, there were girls who would vomit/shit and the guys would do things like eat it. We called vomiting a Roman. Recalling an unpleasant experience, she added, I disinfected with rubbing alcohol after. Benya Kaz, NYC woman discusses life as a sex dungeon worker, Gothamist, January 25, 2014. In another case, the Seattle Weekly reported on an aspiring model that bought a horse, shot it dead, gutted it, posed naked for photos inside the carcass, then ate the animal and posted the photos on the internet. According to a police report, the woman and a male friend of hers had purchased a 32-year-old dying horse in Richfield, Wash. Shortly after buying the animal, the man shot it in the head with a .300 Winchester Magnum hunting rifle. The horse had apparently been scheduled to be euthanized already, then the two skinned and gutted it before finally beginning their photo shoot. The reason for climbing inside the carcass was later explained to deputies as the woman's desire to be one with the animal. Seattle Weekly, 2011. 50 Shades of Grey, 2011, by E. L. James pushes the boundaries of pain and pleasure. What makes people climb into carcass girdles and scuttle in eerie sex dungeons? Recent studies show that various parasites use mind control to hijack the brains of their hosts. Once upon a time, parasites were thought to live relatively simple lives. They hitched a ride on a host, sapping nutrients and energy but otherwise leaving it alone. But that was only part of the story. Many parasites actually take control, causing their hosts to act in self-destructive ways that further their invaders' interests. Brandon Keem, Attacks of the Brain Controlling Parasites, Wired, September 8, 2011. Host-threatening signs may consist of necrophilia and cannibalism. In May 2013, a fear-provoking news video showed a rebel cutting out the heart and liver of a Syrian soldier and apparently eating the heart. I didn't want to do this. I had to, Abu Sakr later told the BBC News. We have to terrify the enemy, humiliate them, just as they do to us. And he stinks so bad his bones been choke in. Weepin' greenish drops. In the night of the iron sausage. Where the torture never stops. The torture never stops. The torture. The torture. The torture never stops. Frank Zappa, The Torture Never Stops, 1976. Toxoplasma parasites reproduce in cats' bellies. The human immune system is apparently incapable of eliminating the tissue cysts. Pharma bro Martin Shkreli was arrested for fraud in connection with toxoplasma and HIV treatment pills called Daraprim. Research focused on a possible toxoplasma link to schizophrenia. In 2001, psychiatrist E. Fuller Torrey of the Stanley Medical Research Institute and neurovirologist Robert Yochan of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine reported significantly more antibodies associated with toxoplasma in patients experiencing their first schizophrenic episode as compared with healthy peers. Gustavo Arizabalaga and Bill Sullivan, Common Parasite Could Manipulate Our Behavior, Scientific American, February 12, 2015. The Box Soho Cabaret nightclub was lately described as Britain's seediest VIP club. Outrageous acts conducted at the club were reported, such as pigs licking food off of strippers' stomachs, unsanctioned orgies, and a performer who played popular tunes with her genitalia. The controversial club attracted royals such as Prince Harry and his cousins Princesses Beatrice and Eugenie. It faced allegations of excessive drug use amongst some of its guests and allegations of sexual harassment backstage.